Hello and welcome back to Dark Side Down Under. We're on episode 3, powering on. I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy out there. How about I introduce you to my husband, the inspiration behind Salt and Pepper's 1993 hit, What a Man. Louis, hello.
Oh, I do like the inspirational lead-in. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Are you well? Are you feeling ready and excited?
Let's do this.
Now, today's story has a little bit more meat on its bones, so I'm not going to fanny around too much.
That's good because I'm hungry.
You're hungry. It is lunchtime. Tell me, Bluey, though, have you got an icebreaker?
I do have an icebreaker, and it's right up your alley.
Ooh.
Well, kind of. Can't muck around too much like last week, and then you've got to try and punch this out as quick as you can.
All right, I'll do my best.
Okay. Who's your top three people that you would have with you in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, zombie apocalypse time. Right. So will you be offended if I don't choose you?
Certainly not.
Actually, I probably would choose you because you're very strong
and
you're quite smart and you're a good problem solver.
One of the golden rules is cardio, and I reckon I get stepped up pretty early on.
But so would I. So
well, you probably want to choose wisely.
Yeah, okay. So we need smart, fast people. Usain Bolt.
Okay, Usain Bolt's getting around.
Yep, we need strong people.
Yep.
I think I have a feeling The Rock's strength is more for show.
You're getting too
just
much.
Like Terry Crews.
I
think
much.
Terry Crews's muscles are just for show.
I just think he's a demo of a dancer. He'd like to just pop and lock.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, yeah. But he would be good for entertainment value. No, I think that we need a I think I'd still choose you because you're strong and you're a good problem solver.
So yes.
And you know, I like you. And you've got to have like a hot badass babe that's a good shot. So I mean, the obvious thing is Mila Jovovich, but she is an actress who plays a badass. That doesn't mean she is one.
Okay.
So that's a bit that's a hard question.
You got two more.
My sister's pretty good shot, and she can butcher. So, you know, she might be handy in the post-zombie apocalypse world where you've got to hunt and butcher your own food and survive. She's also a nurse, so she, you know, she could do field dressings and things like that.
Teague's getting a Guernsey.
Teagan's going to get a Guernsey, yeah. Yep, well done, Teagues. So it's you and Teagan and... Oh, there's too much silent air in that. I don't know.
Okay. Somebody pretty for us to look at.
Someone pretty for us to look at.
That's not related to us.
So, okay. That's a good... Yeah, look, let's go with... who's a real badass that we... Let's just still go Mila Jovovich. Because
yeah,
she is pretty hot and she's tough and she was good in those movies. So I have to assume she's a bit, you know, quick on her feet and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think when it comes to like the leaderboard of survival in the podcast, in the zombie apocalypse, we're probably boned, but you know, we'll give it a red hot go. What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not getting a Guernsey.
Oh, get fucked. Rude.
Yeah, no, I haven't really thought about it, but I could tell you the type of people you'd want quick thinkers.
You need someone smart, someone strong, and someone quick.
And yeah, people that aren't too emotional probably.
Yeah.
You'd want people just to be just act and get on with it.
So yeah.
That's the type of person I'm going to be looking to recruit.
That's fair. Are you saying I'm an emotional person? You don't have to answer that. It's
right.
Fine. All right. Well, that's cool. That's fun. That's a good question. It's hard to come up with an answer to something like that when you're fast on your feet. Like if I had a couple of minutes to think about it, I'd probably come up with a better answer. What do you think, listeners? Feel free to comment, chime in on the social media. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, definitely.
We're on Facebook and Instagram. Right. So let's dive on in because, like I said, this is a bit of a bigger story today.
Before we go ahead, that ghost, Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington,
yeah, so
from Big Mouth.
From Big
yeah,
Mouth,
thank you.
From last week's, question.
Pretty much as soon as we stopped recording, I went, Duke Ellington.
So he'd be pretty cool, dude.
He would be cool to have an imaginary friend.
Yeah, he'd be cool.
I like the callback.
He's already an imaginary friend.
He is.
Not so much a person, but more of a character. Anyway,
yeah.
We digress.
No, I like it. He was an interesting character, so well done. Okay, so now we're going to jump on in. Are you ready?
Sure.
So this week, Bluey, we're actually headed out of South Australia today, which is really exciting. We had two South Australian stories. Today we're going to head to a state very dear to my heart, Van Diemen's Land. or as most people would know it, Tasmania.
Cool.
Van Diemen's Land sounds cooler.
It does.
You spent some time in Tassie during your younger years, didn't you, Blue?
Oh, yeah, my early 20s.
Yeah?
No, I think my early 30s, I did the overland track from Cradle Mountain to Lake St. Clair and packing me back, didn't train for it. First 3 days killed me. The second 3 days was bliss. It was beautiful. Yeah. But, yeah, loved it. And, yeah, drove Hobart, Lonnie and Davenport and had a good look around.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd like to get back there. It's a beautiful part of the world. Mm.
Yeah, we'll get back there one day, hopefully, if all goes well. So one place that you probably didn't visit is the Willow Court Asylum.
No.
In a town called New Norfolk. New Norfolk? Blue, I love me an old asylum. It's one of my favourite horror movie tropes.
Sweet.
You put a horror movie in an asylum, I'm into it.
Cool.
Would I go to one myself to visit, not to be institutionalised, but to investigate? I would. I would be terrified, though. I would definitely wear my brown trousers. Yeah, I think so. So the references for today, we've got the willowcourtproject.com. Definitely check this out if it's something you're interested in, guys. He does amazing work. He's been collecting documents and information and stories about this whole site for a really long time, and his website is absolute goldmine. So he's got stories of the paranormal. He's got story. He's got huge amount of history information there, and he's actually got some stories of people who stayed at the institution while it was open, and that's really cool. You don't hear a lot of that stuff when you read these sorts of stories. So his site's really good. We got the Libraries Tasmania website. We've got abc.net, the Willow Court History Group. We've got trove.nla.gov.au and the Willow Court New Norfolk blogspot.
Oh, yes, familiar.
Oh, yes? No. It's no? Okay. All right, so here's a bit of interesting trivia for you, Blue. Willow Court gets its name from two willows planted by Lady Franklin, who was the Lieutenant Governor's wife back in the day. It's reported that the willows are grown from cuttings from a tree that grows on Napoleon's grave.
Oh,
which cool. I think is on St. Helens Island. I'm not really sure. But it's an interesting little tidbit for you.
Yeah, I like it.
That's not really related to any of our stories, but fun fact. So when the government policy around deinstitutionalisation started happening, it led to the hospital kind of winding down until it closed in the year 2000 and finally was abandoned in 2001. So it was open until fairly recently. And at that point, it was the oldest functioning mental hospital in Australia. She's old. As well as that, it was the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere, or one of the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. So she's a hooter. Because it was so big, it actually had three purposes. It was the district general hospital. It was an invalid depot for convicts and, of course, an asylum for the insane, which is not what we call them anymore. I know that. I'm going to use a bit of terminology in this that is not PC. It's not what we say anymore. It could even be considered offensive. I am paraphrasing from my research because a lot of this information has come from old documents and stuff.
I will not be offended.
No, I didn't think you would be. You're a hardy man. So in 1827, that's where the story begins, it was requested by the governor that all of the invalid convicts be sent there. At that point, they were roomed in wooden huts until there was better accommodation built on site. Could you imagine what that must have been like?
I don't know. Back in the day, it would have been
a
wooden hut. They're probably used to a bit of hut living.
I mean, this area isn't exactly known for its excellent care practices, particularly where the mentally ill and infirm are concerned.
Pretty disgusting.
I think it was probably pretty awful. Yeah.
Have a window, do you reckon?
I doubt it. I'm in my head, and I didn't have any pictures of this era, but in my head, I'm picturing like lean-tos.
Yeah, okay.
Type thing. But I don't know if it was that bad, but it says wooden huts, so it wasn't great.
Pooping in one corner, weeing in the other.
Probably. Or like long drops or something like that. But these are people that are infirm and mentally ill, so, and it just would have been awful.
Looking after themselves.
That's right. It wouldn't have been very nice. By 1830, though, the Willow Court site housed. Sorry, that was a hard sentence to say. I'm not sure why. So the Willow Court site housed 45 invalids, 20 lunatics. Again, I know that's not the respectful term. And a total of 23 staff. All but three of the staff were ex-convicts as well, which is not unusual, Van Diemen's Land at the time. that's pretty much all that was left was convicts at that point. Because I think, wasn't Van Diemen's Land like the prison of the prison?
I don't know.
Like,
I'm not quite sure.
I should know more about it. I know, but
it's a cool Russell Morris album.
It's a great Russell Morris album. One of the better ones.
Yeah, got that on LP.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one to have.
It is a good one. He's done some good ones. So after some time, the hospital became pretty much self-sufficient when I burped.
Oh, okay.
Just put it out there. I'm going to leave it in. If Georgia Hardstark can do it, so can I. So after some time, the hospital became pretty much self-sufficient when the farms on the adjacent land were used to grow fruit and vegetables and produce sheep, cattle, pigs and poultry. So they were pretty much left to their own devices. She, I don't know why, but I always call old buildings she. They've always used a feminine pronoun
for me.
That's my thing. I don't know why. So she's been known by a variety of names throughout history. If you hear from some snuffling at this point, Bindi's just entered the chat. So she's wandering around. She generally doesn't have much to say, though. So in 1968, the Lachlan Park Hospital, as it was called at the time, was then merged with Millbrook Rise Psychiatric Hospital, which formed the Royal Derwent Hospital. And that's the name that it retained until its closure in 2000. So it throughout, I'm going to call it different things. They all are talking about this one place. So, yeah, it's a pretty big, like, compound with different sections and stuff. So you'll hear about that.
Cool.
All right. Here's a fun thing. If you're stuck inside and you want a deep dive, guys, all of the really old patient records are online. Uh-huh. And holy shit, mate, that is a raid. For starters, they say things like, order for the reception of an insane person. That's what the forms are called. That was Bindi flopping to the floor. There's also a definition on them, and that says, and I'm quoting here, lunatic or idiot is a person of unsound mind.
Yeah, so I could have been in that category.
Same. Back today. 100%.
Could have been a lunatic. I don't know. What's...
Well, at the very least, an idiot.
At the time.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Get money when you can.
So that's the definition on the admission papers. And the doctors will write which category the patient falls into. I'm really sorry, guys. Bindi's wagging her tail. She's really happy. She likes that definition.
She's a lunatic.
She's a lunatic.
She would definitely be in the asylum.
Yeah, either as an idiot or a lunatic.
God forbid both.
So I read a few of these medical records, admission papers, case files. The ones I could read, you know, it's shorthand and it's doctor's writing and it's old. Some of them are like, you know, 100 years old and stuff like that. So I really struggled to read a lot of it. Look, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. That feels pretty gross. But I did read some really tragic stuff on there. I read some pretty sad stories. And there were some people that really had sad lives. And I really feel a lot for them. If they'd been alive today, they might have had a better shot at getting some real help and having a good life. Whereas back then, it was just a matter of lock them up and you know. Now,
rot away.
All of this is suffice to say the hospital's seen some real shit.
Yeah.
There's been some very real suffering in those walls. And I find it easy to imagine that that kind of pain and suffering would leave a stain on the energy of a place. Oh. What do you think about that kind of concept?
Not much.
No, you don't think? Do you think that's met?
I don't know. Sometimes I think that's us overlaying our own concept of what emotions we thought would be left behind.
Yeah, I think you're... Yeah, okay, well, that's interesting. So you don't necessarily believe in the concept of there being, like, an energy left behind or anything like that or residual emotions or anything?
No, I don't think so. I just think it's a place.
Okay. You're a proper skeptic, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. If take an animal there and they have, you know, they can tell what's going on, but I don't know why that was a weird thing to say. But if you can see if a dog is freaking out at somewhere like a place, you might think there could be something going on, but, you know, I don't know.
That's interesting.
You can cut that bit out.
No, that's fine. We'll leave it in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, if you were to take somebody to that place that had no idea of the history or what may have occurred there, how different would their experience be?
That's an excellent point. Yeah. If someone came in blind and didn't know anything about the history of it. Look, I'm sure that a lot of people were really helped by their time in the hospital. I don't want to make it sound like I'm disparaging that. I just think that there are a lot of people. I just think that the medical health care industry wasn't good back then.
Oh, definitely.
We've all heard stories. We don't need to go into too much detail with that, I don't think. We know it was borderline torturous the way they treated the mentally infirm. So particularly, but in more recent years, when the medical and psychological sciences started developing a bit more, like I said, the hospital closed in 2000. So there were people there in like the late 90s and stuff like that, yeah, that would have had a totally different experience, yeah, to totally people in the 1800s, you know. So it's, you know, it's not like it was all bad, no, just a lot of bad.
Yeah, you got post frontal lobotomy and...
Exactly. Well, I can only imagine, I couldn't find any records of frontal lobotomies happening, but this is prime frontal lobotomy era. Yeah. Like, you know, there would have been some ice pick slinging for sure. So I'm not trying to detract from the fact that they, and I've no doubt that people were helped at this place. Oh, yeah. I just think that there probably were a lot of people that weren't. But we're here to talk about dark history.
Yes.
So let's get into that, eh? We got some ghost stories. We got some good ghost stories this week.
You've lit up.
I'm excited. So the most famous of Willow Court's ghost is the ghost of Ward 5. It's the most witnessed and most reported paranormal experience on site, being witnessed by at least 20 people. Some of these people have had more to lose by coming forward than to gain with their accounts. They've risked their jobs, as the hospital had a very strict shut the fuck up about it, a policy. So to me, they'd been given a very stern warning. So they risked their jobs by reporting these incidents. And for me, that helps lend a little bit of credibility to the stories. They had nothing to gain by saying these things. You know, there was nothing in it for them.
So Ward 5.
Ward 5.
So is this a spirit or a ghost that has a place, is named by a place, sort of like a place name?
But the staff on Ward 5, globally, or within the community, he is called the Ward 5 Ghost.
Ward 5
but ghost. The staff of Ward 5 called him Winston.
Winston.
Tell me, Bluey, where does Winston fit in on your leaderboard of ghost names?
Winston from Ward 5. Not as good as old Springhilled, so he's running second at the moment.
He's second on the board, okay.
I do like the sound of him. He's up there, so you're number 2 leaderboard.
You might not like the sound of him.
I might not like the sound of him.
In a bit. So he was reported in most during the 1990s, but it's thought that the cause of the haunting happened in the 70s. I'm not sure why there was a bit of a gap there, but maybe he was hanging around building energy. So there's two theories about Ward 5. Theory A is that the ward once housed young alcoholics and drug addicts, some of which had serious interests in the occult. I think that's kind of bollocks. Theory B is a bit juicier, and it's more well-known and a bit more accepted. And this is the theory that some staff members were conducting a seance one night shift. I mean, that's a fucking great idea in an asylum, right? Apparently, a supervisor busted in mid-seance and they didn't finish properly, which, as most of us know, that's a massive no-no. They would have opened a door that they then did not close, which would have explained. You're shaking your head. You just, it's all bollocks.
It's the basement?
No, it's in the outside, asylum. So...
flies will get in, don't let them off.
Not that closed. Kind of door, you noodle. No, a spiritual door. Yes. So this story has been actually corroborated on the site that I read called Willow Court Project that I was telling you about earlier. The author of the site was actually contacted by an ex-psych who studied on the ward and trained on the ward. He said that he believed that he was the reason for the haunting. This dude stated that he did his training in Royal Derwent from the late 70s to the early 80s, and it was during this period that he had conducted the seance in the nurse's office. He stated, I mean, if he's doing his training, he's obviously like only in his, what, 20s. So it's your prime age for stupid shit.
Good for the
bear. Yeah, that's prime dumb fuckery age. So he stated that there was an Irish nurse in charge who was very much into seances at the time and the spirituality. Being a skeptic, he and the rest of the team thought it was just a bit of a laugh. So they set up do you need to sneeze?
No.
Okay. They set up a seance around midnight. During the seance, the night supervisor came onto the ward and interrupted their seance. Without closing it off properly, which you are supposed to do, the guy in question didn't notice any of the haunting occurring like immediately after the seance. However, he noted that on various wards, the hairs on the back of his neck would stand up. He continued with his involvement with seances and stated that he contacted various paranormal beings on site with surprisingly accurate results, which is interesting. I still think he might be not very smart, but, well, to be fair, I'd probably do it. I'd probably jump at the opportunity.
Have a crack.
I love that shit. But I would close it out. Jesus.
Amateur hour.
Pfft. So, apparently, Winston's a man-hater.
He's a man-hater.
He's said to physically attack men, and male staff members on the ward claim that he appears as a white tinge, kind of similar to a heat haze, but he's got a distinguishable head. Ward 5 has been knocked down, but it's thought by many that Winston still haunts the grounds. Do you want to hear some accounts of run-ins with Winston?
Winston
of Ward 5 run-ins.
Cool.
Okay.
Let's hear
him. Mm-hmm. So one ex-resident says she lived on Ward 5 and she had seen the ghost. She states he wore a black coat, white shirt and black trousers and was smoking a pipe. She claims he was very scary. I don't want to be rude.
Okay.
But she was an ex-resident in a mental health institution.
Yeah, she's batshit crazy.
She's still alive, so she's let's tread carefully.
She's outstanding member of the community.
I'm not saying that I don't believe that she saw something, but we do have to take her mental state at the time into consideration.
Apart from that, I'll get my old end of an old tobacco pipe.
Yeah, but she claims he scared the shit out of her. Sorry.
Or anything like that. He's on the tobacco pipe, and you'd be thinking, he's harmless.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's just trying to get
But she said he had like a scary feeling.
Because he was a ghost.
He's a ghost.
Yeah.
Old Winston. So one staff member actually claimed to see three separate ghosts. She claimed she didn't believe in ghosts prior to her experience and didn't believe the story she'd heard about Ward 5 until one night she was walking along the left wing towards the laundry when it suddenly got very cold. She says she stood there and tried to tell herself there's nothing there. We all do when we get the heebie-jeebies. You know, you've almost always got the heebie-jeebies.
Only because you scare me all the time.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. And I'd like to point out, I don't jump scare you. I'm not going to jump out and go, because that's a dick move.
Yeah.
I just like to tell scary stories.
And creep up on me.
I don't creep up on you.
You do creep.
Unbelievable. So she got the heebie-jeebies. She's standing there. She's going, there's nothing there. She turns around and then she saw three perfect apparitions standing behind her. Apparently the apparitions were different sizes, but they were all the shape of people.
Okay.
That's really quite scary. How do you feel? What would you do?
Turn the light off.
You'd turn the light on. The light might have been on.
Just blink a few times, okay. Get the haziness out of my eyes.
I like how brave you're trying to make yourself sound.
Snap a pic.
Oh, you reckon? I think I'd probably just wee myself.
Have a chat, see if I want to have, you know, like, what can a ghost do? Like,
ghosts can do lots of stuff, as we are going to learn.
What can they do?
All right, so there were a lot of reports about Ward 5. It got to the point where staff would refuse to work in the ward. Admin told the staff that any ghost talk would result in promptly getting the sack.
See, that's not fair.
That's kind of a dick move. Eventually, the patients were all transferred and Ward 5 was closed.
See something, say something.
Yeah.
Turn it on a bumper sticker somewhere.
Come on and party tonight. Yeah. So, we've got another ghost story coming up, but we're going to take a little break here and we'll be back in just a moment.
After these short messages.
We don't have any messages. We don't have any sponsors.
No sponsors!
No. Okay, we are back. So, Bluey, next up, we have the ghost room.
Ghost room.
Which, I mean, it's a terrible name for a hospital suite.
Yeah, the ghost room. Right this way, to the ghost room.
Get parked. I would not go. So the ghost room was in the women's building.
Okay.
Apparently it was so bad the nurses refused to enter unless absolutely essential, and even then not alone. Now, it's important to note here that I read in an article that said that the conditions in the female building were the worst on site, which, of course, is where you put the women. So, yeah, of course, it's going to be the worst. Fuck you, people. So apparently the building was in the very center of the institute. It was really dark and drab and damp with very poor ventilation. The sunshine and fresh air never reached the cells. The floors were just bare floorboards. In some places, they'd been patched with tin.
Yeah, it'd stink.
It would stink, and it was pretty yuck. Yeah. Like, it's a bit yuck.
And cold too. Like,
it'd be fucking cold and cold, damp, and not a healthy place to put sick people.
No.
So I'm sure that these conditions lend themselves to a feeling of general creepiness.
Yes.
Apparently, there was also quite a few violent people in the wards as well. So there would have been some violence and some shouting and screaming and carry on. And I think it just generally was like a creepy, scary place.
Terrible place to work.
Yeah. I'm not saying that nothing paranormal was happening. I just think that the feeling can be augmented by the shitty atmosphere.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I didn't have a specific story about the ghost room, just some general information.
Okay.
Next up, we have the nurse's cottage, which is said to be haunted by the spirit of a little girl who's been seen numerous occasions. Little girl ghosts are probably the scariest for me. For starters, I don't like kids. Secondly,
They've got pigtails. Weird looking little bastards.
But everyone knows that it's almost never really a little girl.
What are you saying?
Do you not know this?
You're saying little girl ghosts aren't little girl ghosts?
No, they're not. Not normally. Not usually.
They're not like 40-year-old men.
No, very often evil entities disguise themselves as little girls to trick people into feeling secure and safe. I'm going to help you, little girl. I'll be your friend. Oh, my God, it's a demon. He's eating my face.
Perverted buggers.
Yeah, that's the general rule of thumb. I'm not saying there are no little girl ghosts. I'm just saying that if you see a cute little blonde little girl with pigtails and a Victorian dress, it's probably not a little girl. That's a trick. It's a smoke screen.
That's nice to know. Thanks for that.
Consider yourself warned. Next up, we have Ward C. Many people have described Ward C as the most haunted and evil place at Willow Court, if not Australia-wide.
Whoa.
That's a big statement.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evil, creepy places in Australia. So there's been EVPs. Do you know what an EVP is? That's an electronic voice phenomena.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, you do? Okay, cool. People have claimed red handprints appear on their clothing and never wash out. These handprints were in spots that you couldn't really do yourself. They're on like your back and stuff. Yeah. Not saying you couldn't get your mate to do it, but other people have reported getting paper cut style injuries on their arms and stuff. No. I'm just saying no. I hate that.
Paper cuts seem like pretty bad.
I hate that. That's a really strong ass entity.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that. I don't like it. It's said that Ward C emits a sad and depressing feeling that makes people just want to curl up in the corner. It's supposed to be really tense and scary atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Again, it's an old asylum. It's probably a bit shit everywhere.
I'd say so.
Like, at one point, there were paranormal investigators on the site that had an interesting experience. They were locked in one of the cells. The cell door closed.
On purpose?
No, it closed and locked behind them. And they weren't able to get out, which I'd be a screaming wreck. No, they rang someone from the local council who had to come all the way back and let them out. But while the council member was on the way, one of the investigators jokingly said, "They're coming to give us the governor's pardon." And as soon as they said that, the door mysteriously popped open.
I don't know. I reckon there's a bit in that.
You think there's a bit in that? In what sense?
Bullshit.
I'm sorry. That was so loud. You think that's a bullshit story?
Come on.
Cool. I'm glad to have your 2 cents on the subject.
I don't know. Like, a little bit more information.
Mm-hmm.
Seek to understand, before to be understood, I know. But it just sounds like it's a little bit.
Okay, I mean, I like, yep, that's fine. I understand. So despite, we're going to get past that now. The councils claimed that slamming doors and other strange occurrences happen, and they were very normal in Ward C. It's just standard fare. Trigger warning. This next story contains an account of suicide. If you or someone you know is struggling with suicidal thoughts, please seek help.
Yeah, definitely.
And also go ahead and skip this next few seconds. So there's a cottage on site called Frescati Cottage. I tried my best with that pronunciation. I think it's Italian, so I'm going to go with that. And if you hold your hand in a certain way, you can do Italian accents. That's how it goes. I'm really sorry if any Italian people are offended by that.
Yeah.
It was actually built in as a summer retreat by the governor in 1834, but it was really close. And in later on in its life, it was integrated into the asylum. So it used to be really grand, but now it looks a bit derry. I saw some photos of it back in the day, and it was really quite pretty, lovely little summer home with big bay windows and stuff. Now it's a shack with all boarded up. So there are a few stories about Frescati. Apparently a man and woman hung themselves there.
Oh,
so geez. That's all the information I'm going to give on that one. We don't need to go into that hard.
We don't know what that's about.
Yeah. So apparently we've got another man hating ghost in Frescati. One that likes to throw men around.
So is the second man hating ghosts?
Two man hating ghosts.
Oh, geez,
there's nothing to say that it's not the same ghost. Winston could be getting around and they just don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But
slutting about.
So he could be slutting about. So he likes to throw men. I would love to see him throw you.
Well, I wouldn't.
No. I just think it'd be really like, he'd give it a red hot go.
No, I don't want that. I'll be thrown by a ghost.
No.
Okay. But, so this is, we're in the house, these people talk themselves, and there's a, just a man-hating ghost there?
Yeah.
So is
there's
like
no
one ghost there?
Well, I think we'll read on, but I think there's just the one ghost in Frescati. Oh, no, there might be a couple. We'll read on and find out. So he likes to throw men around. There's a story that a cleaner once went into the house and was found hours later with blood all over the walls, claiming that he was chucked around by something he couldn't see and he was an absolute mess.
Oh, moly.
That's, am I right?
Earthquake.
Earthquake.
I've debunked it.
You've debunked it already. Amazing. You're so good at this. I mean, that sounds terrifying, though. So one person claims to have seen a ghost looking back at them through a broken window. There's also been lots of claims of people being able to feel the pulse coming through the building when they touch it. That is straight out of some horror movie, that shit.
Building's alive.
Building's alive. You put your hands on it and you can feel a pulse through the walls. That's some Amityville shit right there.
I don't know.
You don't, buy that either?
Nah.
It's probably just they've put their hands on the other side of the water heater or something.
Probably sitting right on top of a tectonic plate. I don't know.
Amazing.
But yes, yeah,
geological like bluey.
Give me a pick and I'll tell you some stuff.
I like it. So far, all of this is bullshit, according to Bluey.
Just the big stuff. I've been thrown around a room.
Well,
throwing a dude about the place.
Yeah. Try this on for size, Bluey. The Archdeacon, R. Davis, bought this bitch very shortly afterwards, three of his sons died within a few days of moving in.
Three of his sons?
Am I saying this house killed
all
them?
Of his sons?
Yes.
Three sons?
Yes,
that
I am.
Tragic.
Fuck this house, Bluey.
Well,
fuck it.
No, but
I
what
am,
are the circumstances of their death? Are they unknown?
Unknown.
The house just gobbled them up.
I don't know. I couldn't actually find death certificates.
So that's just a coincidence.
Like
it could have been scurvy or whatever you get back in the
day. Scurvy is mostly for people on ships, I think. But maybe tuberculosis or something at this era. But look, I'm going to go ahead and say the house killed him.
I see. You're on your own.
Chewed him up. Investigators have had a few cracks at her. This one's kind of got more of a male energy for me, though, so I'm going to go with him. So one of the investigators come out with inexplicable scratches all over his back. That's bad. It takes some really strong energy to scratch someone.
All right, he's got a mistress.
And he's trying to hide it.
He's got a mistress. She gets a little bit rough. He likes it. His wife finds out, and he's got to come up with some.
You got an answer for everything.
Yeah, well, that's
Cockle Bitty story. Okay. All right. Yeah. My man's got an excuse.
At the moment, all I'm trying to do is discredit everything you're saying.
I know. But... I appreciate that.
I'll stop now and try and enjoy this.
Look. Well, that's okay because we're sort of drawing towards the end at the moment because there are so many ghost stories at Willow Court that I couldn't fit them all in. Honestly, this place needs a whole season to itself. It really it needs to get a really good deep dive, maybe like a serial podcast to get all of the stories because it's really in-depth and there are a lot of them.
Well, if we ever get out and about, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So there's claims. I'm just going to do a basic overall summary of the experiences that people have in Willow Court. So there are claims of getting tapped on the shoulder, doors opening and closing, phantom breezes, apparitions and shadow people, whistling, orbs, objects being thrown around, basically all of your greatest hits. And, of course, I do have some freaky photos for you.
Cool. I do like freaky photos.
Yeah. We're going to help ice this bad boy off. Look, I got these photos from the willowcourtproject.com. I don't own these photos. I don't have permission to use these photos. I have no smegging idea about the rules around that kind of stuff, if I'm allowed to post them. So basically what I'm going to do instead is say that if you would like to see some of these photos, head over to the Willow Court Project Facebook page and have a gander at them there. That way I'm not going to get into any trouble for stealing people's photos. But I'm going to show you, Bluey.
Yeah, cool. I'd like to have a look.
And we can have a look. So this is the first one. This was taken by a woman and her daughter in Ward C in one of the bathrooms. She claimed they were alone and her daughter was standing behind her. So why don't you go ahead and explain what you can see there.
All right, I see, is that a cot or a bathtub?
I think it's a bathtub.
And that fuzzy thing's a thing that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. So it looks a bit like a fuzzy head in the corner.
Yeah, smiling with an ear. It looks kind of, doesn't look like a real person, but you can see the head. It's got like a hair and a big high brow. And it, look, if enough time, you could probably think that was a bit of a sinister thumbprint.
Thumbprint? Maybe. You think it's a thumbprint?
Maybe. I think it's a
My
bit
goodness.
Of a, could be.
I can see how you might get a thumbprint out of that, but it actually looks a bit like there's a necklace or a choker or something on them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it.
Like you can see like an actual neck. Goblin. I don't know. I think if I saw that in my holiday snaps, I'd wee my pants though. This one's a ripper. So this was taken by a girl. I'm not sure which ward this was in. I think I read it was the nurse's cottage, but I'm not really sure. Just have a look and have like get a look at it.
All right. So that's a person that's supposed to be there, but there's a person behind. There's a fake person.
No, a ghost or an apparition.
Person, an apparition. A fake person. I'm going fake person standing behind her. It looks like a old timely gentleman with a bit of a curly skullet going on.
Yeah.
You can see his nose.
He's a bit skeletal looking though, isn't he?
Yeah,
like,
he is.
He's quite, you know, he doesn't look well.
No, he doesn't look well. But then again, that window looks pretty dirty.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
I'm becoming a deep.
It's very convenient of you. This one's been cleaned up a little bit just because it was an older photo. But if you have a look down those stairs.
You can see something. I don't know, like legs?
Yeah, it looks like up here.
Yeah.
It looks like a kind of fog with some legs in it.
Fog with some legs in it.
Coming up the stairs, maybe.
Well, going down.
You sound unconvinced.
Well.
Okay. This one's a little bit fuzzy. But you can see they've circled it down in the bottom corner
there.
Yeah,
that doesn't look like Buckle.
Okay.
That doesn't look like much, really.
No, you don't see the shadow of a person in there?
No, the photo you showed me last week was far more exciting. It just looks like a bit of a shadow.
Which I suppose the light is actually coming into the room from behind the photographer. So if there's a room full of people, you're going to get a shadow. Yeah. So that, yeah, okay. Damn it, now you're convincing me.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm not an expert
on this.
This
is a window.
On the authority, it does look like a Abraham Lincoln kind of looking dude.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're fairly unconvinced by all of these, aren't you?
I like them. I think they're interesting, but it's not like that's definitely something.
Okay, so you're not convinced by the dirty window frame?
I just think it's a set of random shapes, and then we associate those random shapes with things that are familiar to us to justify those God things. Damn it. It's like your brain. You told me an interesting fact the other day. You can see your nose is right there, but your brain doesn't want you to block out that part of your vision, so it just
ignores
your nose and then paints the rest of whatever else is going, fills in the blank. And that's really good if you've got a honker. But
one day I'll give you a bit of a rundown on the condition that most people have that causes us to see faces in inanimate, in places where there are no faces. I do it all the time. Yeah. Like, we'll drive past a car and I'll say, that looks like a happy face.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. I'll remember as soon as we finish recording and we'll put it at the top of the next episode.
Yeah, I think that's
so sweet. Look, you left me, you didn't leave me. You were out yesterday and I was home on my own fishing through these photos and I freaked myself out. I had to come in here and watch some Bob's Burgers because I found myself becoming a little bit creeped out. So I'm a bit disappointed that you're not equally so. You're supposed to be a scaredy cat.
You're in a house on your own. Well, you like, you kind of
like to get scared and like to wake myself up.
Yeah, I do. Like watching things.
I do like to wind myself
because they scare you.
Yeah, but, slap cam and stuff like that.
And you get carried away with that sort of thing. To me, I'm just looking at that going, yeah, that could be something, but it also could be nothing. You need to.
Bindi has just dragged herself along the full length of the couch. She's telling us that it's time to wrap it up. So, like I said, we could fill a whole season with this behemoth. But tell me, have you enjoyed your story today?
I have enjoyed the story today. Thank you. I wasn't scared very much.
To try harder.
But you kind of like painted a picture of the asylums and things like that.
What's your take on Willow Court?
I'd like to know a little bit more about Willow Court. It would be cool to visit Willow Court. I think Tassie, Van Diemen's Land, asylum / hospitals, there would have been a lot of pain and hurt for individuals there and even people that work there. I reckon it would have been a very pleasant place. So, yeah, it definitely would have some stigma about it. And that's kind of that's a thing, you know, and it's a sad, sad thing. So, it's good to talk about it, I guess. And, cool to do a bit more research and find out a bit more. But it'd be really nice to go there sometime and try and put a bit of a
I really enjoyed reading this one. It was a little bit hard to know what to put in and what to leave out because there is so much to sink your teeth into. Look, listeners, if you visit Tasmania ever, if you ever get to visit anywhere again, or if you live in Tasmania, definitely put this one on your list to visit.
If you've been there,
If you've been there and you've got a story, or you've just been there and you want to tell us about it, please reach out. We would love to hear about it.
Definitely.
They do ghost tours, and from the photos, it looks like an amazing site and well worth visiting. If not just for the paranormal side of things, for the historical side of things, it really does look important. But, yeah, aside from that, if you or someone you know has a spooky story for us, be it paranormal, cryptid, or otherwise unexplained, please email us at darksidedownunder@outlook.com. Look, you can stay anonymous as well if you want. We don't have to read your name. We can read your name if you want to, give you a shout-out. But if you'd rather be anonymous, that's fine as well. We're now on Facebook and Instagram, so feel free to follow us there. Louis, have you got anything to say at the end of this episode?
This is the rabbit-abba-dabba-doo. I've been hanging on to that for so long.
Oh, it's amazing. Well done. Minutes. What a man.
It's cool. I've enjoyed it. It's been a nice afternoon. I look forward to the next one. It's kind of cool. I get to participate with not really doing any work because you're doing all the research and telling me all about it. So I'll have to step up and find someone to
You're going to do one.
The lead on shortly. So
I'm going to call you up to bat at some point soon.
Yeah, I have a crack, but I have enjoyed it, and it's kind of cool. Thanks to people that are having a listen and giving us some feedback. We've got some feedback this week, so we'll endeavour to do whatever we've got to try and do, but we're not 100% tech savvy yet on things, so you're just going to have to bear with us.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, any sort of feedback, that's fine. We're not going to take it personally unless you're a real asshole, but we'll deal with that. But no, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Thanks to Bindi for joining us. I hope she wasn't too distracting for anyone listening. Yeah, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week for another episode of Dark Side Down Under.
Sleep with the light on.